Good morning, everyone. We are continuing with our discussion of the last words of the long discipleship vow, but since today is the morning after the USA election, we're probably going to also talk about that a little bit. So let's start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, Friend, Beloved God, Jesus Christ, Babaji Krishna, Lahiri Mahashaya, Swami Sri Yukteswar, Beloved Master Paramahansa Yogananda, Saints of all religions, dearest friend and guide Swami Kriyananda, humbly we bow at thy feet. Help us to feel your guiding presence. As we look at the world around us, help us not to be deceived by the seeming independent reality of it, but to understand that everything in this world is a manifestation of your presence. Help us to attune to the deeper reality, to Sat-Chit-Ananda, behind this world of ever-changing manifestations. Above all, keep us calm and courageous, filled with faith that we are being guided in exactly the way that is necessary for our soul's freedom. Help us to face into whatever you bring us with great joy. We are your children. Comfort us, guide us, bless us. Om peace. Amen. So this is being recorded on November 4th, 2020. Very big contested USA election, which has huge implications for the world, since the U.S., at least still in this time, is a very influential force on the planet. Nothing is known at this time. The two candidates, it was simply too close to call. And it's probably going to be so close that it will be contested and things will remain tempestuous. And so we're in for a ride. And so before I go on to what I will want to talk about, which is purifying the heart, I just wanted to comment a little bit about it. And I often refer to this passage of Autobiography of a Yogi. And so I thought it would be important to actually just read it. Autobiography of a Yogi, of course, the blue version. This is in chapter 33, page 291, in the chapter called Babaji, the Yogi Christ of Modern India. Seems unlikely that any of you listening to this have never heard of Babaji, but just in case, he's a deathless Himalayan master. His presence is not anything that I personally can verify from the kind of tangible sense experience, but it is his presence is attested to by master in the autobiography. And there's a certain point where if one trusts a person as deeply and completely as I trust master, then you have to trust everything he says. So if you don't know from your own experience, you have enough experience to believe what comes next. This is what, this is when belief turns to faith, that there's enough experience that you have faith in what's being given to you. So Master writes, the Maha Avatar, which is what Babaji is known as, meaning the great avatar, the Maha Avatar, Babaji, is in constant communion with Christ, meaning Jesus Christ, not just the Christ consciousness, Jesus and Babaji. Together, they send out vibrations of redemption and have planned the spiritual technique of salvation for this age. The work of these two fully illumined masters, one with a body and one without it, Jesus no longer lives on the physical plane, but only on the spiritual plane. Babaji actually has a physical body, which he is able to sustain by his spiritual power, is to inspire the nations to forsake suicidal wars, excuse me, race hatreds, religious sectarianism, and the boomerang evils of materialism. I want to just say that again. Babaji and Christ have planned the spiritual salvation, the spiritual technique of salvation for this age. Their work is to inspire the nations to forsake suicidal wars, race hatreds, religious sectarianism, and the boomerang evils of materialism, which is to say they appear to give us pleasure. But in the end, this materialistic point of view, the greed, the selfishness, the disregard of nature, the willingness to exploit others, that's the boomerang effect of materialism. Makes us comfortable for a while, but there's a price to pay. Babaji is well aware of the trend of modern times, especially of the influence and complexities of Western civilization, and realizes the necessity of spreading the self-liberations of yoga equally in the West and in the East. And in Swami's book, The New Path, toward the end of the book, the chapter called His Last Days, page 479. So Swami says, he's talking about the spiritual family that is drawn around Master and this line of gurus. The stronger the family, spiritually speaking, the greater its attractive pull on new souls that may still be wandering in search of an identity of their own. Isn't that a sweet way to put it? Souls that are still wandering in search of an identity of their own. The greater the magnetism of this family, the more people are drawn into it. A family evolves with its individual members. At last, it too becomes a star in the firmament of humanity and begins to produce great souls of self-realization. As spiritual stars, such great families become powerful for the general upliftment of mankind. Like stars, too, they then draw planets of less evolved families into their beneficial auras, vitalizing them with rays of divine truth. Such families are like mighty nations. To them is given the real task of guiding the human race, not in the way governments do by official ordinances, but by subtler spiritual influence. I'm going to read that again. To them is given the real task of guiding the human race, not the way governments do by official ordinances, but by subtler spiritual influence. Yogananda's is one such spiritual family. His forms part of the greater spiritual nation of which Jesus Christ and Sri Krishna, in this age Babaji, are also leaders. Yogananda, like William the Conqueror at Hastings, came to America to establish a beachhead, not in this case of worldly conquest, but of divine communion. Many have been born and are being born in the West to assist him in this mission. Many others are being attracted to it for the first time by the radiant influence, the spiritual gravitational field it has created. So, here we are at a time when even Ananda itself is somewhat divided on the question of the U.S. Election. Many people have very strongly held difference of opinion as to which way we should go. I'm going to draw a very different analogy for a moment, but I think it's not inapt. I've had the opportunity to be present and sometimes to help people through the last stages of their lives. Someone gets a serious cancer diagnosis, has to decide what treatments to follow, starts in with a set of treatments. Maybe they're going to work, maybe they're going to not. You know, old age takes over or some kind of confusing accident happens. And at the end of life, it's easy. I've never been given a terminal diagnosis by a doctor. I have no idea what the forces are that kick in, so I can't say. So people make decisions for this kind of treatment or that, or this hospital or that, or no treatment, or to stay home or to go here. And afterwards, or even in the middle of it, people can second guess a great deal of whether they've made the right decisions. This has been my observation based on very little experience, relatively speaking. I'm not a doctor. Dr. Shanti in our community has help thousands of people at the end of life. In 50 years of medical practice, I've helped a handful. But I don't think it makes any difference what we decide. That's what I've come to realize, that at that stage of life, the soul takes over. And the ego has all kinds of these ideas about what's going to do, and it makes this decision or that decision. But I've said repeatedly, and I really sincerely feel it, do your best and don't even think about it. Because your soul is going to manifest its destiny. Your little ego ideas are simply not sufficient. They're not sufficient to change a force that's just so much greater than us. Starting in 1950, and even before that, Master talked about, this is Kali changing into Dwapara Yuga. It's a very tumultuous time of change. The conflict between the new energy and the old energy is immense. There's simply no, it's so far beyond one person's mind, one generation's way of thinking about it. These are cycles that are 24,000 year cycles that have been going on. We just drop in and out of this planet. And we drop into the planet because it's the right atmosphere for us, because the jiva knows that this particular set of circumstances, stepping into this mass karma, this group karma, this divine mission for this spiritual family at this time, is exactly what my soul needs for its own liberation. And that doesn't mean we don't participate or we don't pay attention, we don't use our own best judgment, whether that judgment is flawed or divinely inspired. We have to use it. That's the point. We're here to develop our discrimination, to develop our willpower, to decide what to do. But it's a means to an end. Because I feel at this point, you know, in this election, it's going to have apparent consequences. But it's the karma of the country. It's the karma of the planet. It's the dissolution of Kali Yuga and the coming of Dwapara Yuga that is really happening here. And every one of us, we're just pawns. We're just pawns in this force. We can affect our own destiny and the destiny of those around us. We have a karmic trajectory that will play itself out. What is free will? What is predetermined? These are questions I could never answer. So each of us is just doing our very best. But the true governance is, it's like these people who seem so important now. I am president of the United States or vice president of the United States. I make decisions. I start and end wars. I help people or I hurt them. All these different things. Where did the ideas for them to do that come from? You know, the country itself, and as I even said, it's even creeping a little bit into Ananda. By no means is Ananda splitting in half, but there's very strong voices that are on many different sides of this question, all of which, even though it looms large in our particular mental sky, is trivial. It's trivial compared to the power of Babaji and Christ. I mean, just put any of these politicians next to Babaji and Christ. And they're working to inspire nations to give up suicidal wars, religious bigotry, and race hatred, and the boomerang effects of materialism. There it is. What do we see being acted out in our country right now? You know, we're not, the USA is not engaged at the moment in any suicidal war. No, that's not true. We have troops here and there. But the world is engaged in suicidal wars, and my goodness, race hatred and religious bigotry and overwhelming greed is just, that's what we're living in, friends. And no politician is running the show. It would be nice if they were all more inspired, but Swami Kriyananda talks about it here. These great spiritual nations, you know, are, to them, these great spiritual nations, of which Master's family is one, to them is given the real task of guiding the human race. We're not even talking about countries. We're talking about guiding the human race, not in the way governments do by official ordinance, but by subtle spiritual influence. So all of us have to ask ourselves, everyone has to ask themselves, what is my real job? What is my job here? And those of us, which I know is much of this audience, who are either in the center of this spiritual nation, I call it, I was with friends in India at the time that the United States went to war with Yugoslavia, I believe it was, or was we were bombing, if that, I mean, I'm not sure what the country was called at that time, forgive me. I pay a certain attention to the essentialness of these issues, but I don't remember the details. We were in that room, several Europeans from different countries, Americans, Indians, and one Tibetan was in the room at the time, small group of people. One of the men in the room, his job was at the New Delhi airport, and he certified planes for flight. He has a very high-level job. No plane took off unless he and his department had certified it safe. He'd been somehow up in the air. He had seen, he's from what whatever corridor he was flying in, he could see the corridor where American bombers were taking off from wherever they were, flying across, dropping bombs on the country that we were bombing, and then going back in the other direction with their empty planes. He could see them. He could see them doing it. My Indian friend said to me, "Oh, you Americans, you're always going to war with someone." Which, of course, when you swim in water and you're a fish, you don't think about it. But it was just from such a perspective. Yeah, that's right. We are always. You know, we have greatness and we have national character. Also, everybody does. This is the particular stew pot that we're put in. I'm not talking politics. But it was just so crazy. At that point, someone suggested that what we need is we are the nation of self-realization. And we ought to have our own passports. We ought to have our own immigration laws. We need to have our own lines at the airport. We're not part of all that's going on. I know in our community in Assisi, when there was a tremendous amount of racial and religious bigotry war, many of the enemies in these European countries, this was when it was Serbia and Bosnia and in that area, they all just came to Ananda to live together in perfect harmony because they are the nation of self-realization. That's who we are. We are resident. And at the present time, we have these passports. You know, I carry an American passport because that's who my parents were. This is where I was born. But I'm not part of that. I'm part of the great nation of Master. And our influence is spiritual. So however we choose to express that, and everybody has these moral imperatives that they feel they have to carry out. And I can imagine a time when there would be a moral imperative that would move me off of what I consider my political activism, which is subtle spiritual influence, to constantly be emanating this power of light. And anything that casts a shadow across that, anxiety, fear, anger, intolerance, impatience with other people's behavior, it's like, because this election is not clear cut and the decision can go either way and then will probably be disputed in, I hope not, but could be disputed in very, very disruptive ways. I really don't know. I have no idea. But I have one responsibility and I don't always fulfill it by any means. Compassion, kindness, courage, and calmness. You know, what can make us afraid? The particular karmas that we each face when one is beginning on the spiritual path and even all the way through, we get very interested in our own destiny. Some of you know that my housemate now, Keshava, is also an astrologer. So for the first time in my life, I can say, today was a bad day. What are my planets doing? And I seem to be sort of a textbook example of once I was going through a very bad period, and this was before Keshava was a person I could speak to regularly, I announced to everyone that my moon had moved into Hades. It was quite obvious to me. And I could feel this force around me trying to make me upset all the time. So there is this reality. Oh, what I was starting to say. So I have an interest in it, you know, when dramatic things, dramatic changes of mood happen from day to day or in the course of a day, because I have access to it now, I become very interested. What are the planets doing? What's my horoscope doing today? It's amazing to see how often it matches. And when we're very beginning on the spiritual path, everything about the details of all our karma, you know, what happened to me as a child, my past life memories, all of that, it's very interesting. And it's helpful because we need to understand what moves us. We not merely observe it, but to actually feel where are these influences coming from. Because some of them are so deeply buried that we think we're being rational, but we're actually just being compelled by subconscious, unexamined subconscious forces. Of course, that is the whole spiritual path, to clear those vrittis and act with freedom and with conscious will. But at a certain point, all karma, this is just my way of phrasing it, all karma becomes generic. And exactly what I'm thinking or why I'm thinking and all the little details of what happened that made me feel this way are less important than the single fact something was strong enough to interrupt my calm acceptance and joy of the world that I have chosen to incarnate in. And that is our real job, because the subtle spiritual influence is the power of the divine consciousness flowing through those who are in tune with it. And anxiety, fear, lack of kindness, lack of compassion, is that the influence? That is exactly what Jesus and Babaji are so concerned about. It doesn't elevate in the life of a devotee to a suicidal war, religious intolerance, you know, and race discrimination. But those are just very big words for wrong action. And those are just big words for identifying that which causes us to separate ourselves from profound faith and experience in the divine flow. You know, I've been watching, you know, the situation in the USA, and as I said, I keep a modest interest in it. I look for the essential issues and just kind of see the trends. It's Master promised us that we were in for a wild ride. I was just listening to Swami speak on one of the recordings again this morning. You know, he just shakes his head. We're in for a long story here. When someone asked him, you know, how long will disruption last? It was very interesting to just both hear Swami's voice and see his face, especially when one knows him well from life experience. And sometimes when Swamiji would be asked a difficult question, difficult in the sense that he wasn't really quite sure how he should answer it, there would be this certain kind of silence would come in, and a certain kind of silence, and often he would just look briefly at the floor. He just looked briefly sort of downward. And then he would make a decision and he would say whatever he was going to say. When he was asked about, I mean, this was in 2012 when this was recorded, but Swami's been anticipating this because Master promised it. They asked him, how long will the disruption last? Swami went into that particular kind of silence and looked at the floor. Then he just said, it'll last for a while, like that. It'll last for a while. I don't know what was implied in that. And the future, he said, will be very different, very different. The whole planet will be different. And he often says, there'll be a lot fewer people on it. You know, so how are we going to get there? Well, God is going to elect or appoint or empower to carry out coups the people that are needed to act out the karma. How can karma be shifted? Karma can be shifted by divine understanding. That's how karma really ends, is that karma is a certain vibration of consciousness. And when an individual's consciousness elevates to a higher, more refined vibration with enough power, then all the lower vibrations are drawn into it. Magnetism affects magnetism. This isn't a physical world. This is an energy world. And so the stronger the flow of energy toward the divine, the more vacillating energies pulling in another direction are drawn into it. This is exactly what Swami says. As a great spiritual nation with this star in the firmament of the heavens, with this tremendous power of these gurus, and then over time, many great souls begin to congregate and arise out of the spiritual family, it exerts a beneficial influence. And those who are teetering on the edge get drawn into that flow of energy. How is that flow of energy created? By instruments. So, you know, whatever temporary politician is there, Babaji and Christ are working together, but it's not going to be a walk in the park, but it's going to be a journey to self-realization, otherwise we wouldn't be here. I remember saying to Swami once, half in jest, "Sir, the next time, can we wait till a higher age?" Master came. Now, though, Master was also there as Arjuna when it transitioned from Dwapar to Kali, going down. Same transition. Master came again. Master came. Swami came. We came. But we're here for one job, and it's not who gets elected. We may feel that this one is so important to Master's plan, and this one is so important to Master's plan. Yeah. Yes and no. It's the karma of the country, really. It's the karma of the planet. It's to me, it's exactly the same as I was saying when people at the end of their lives, the ego plays a little game, but it's the superconscious that's in charge. Our egos are playing a little game, and we have to play it as well as we can. We have to be sincere. But our true and only job is to remain in tune and to watch whether anything is stronger than our ability to remain absolutely centered and to be that spiritual influence and that instrument of Christ and Babaji. How can I serve? How can I serve? How can I serve? Not the temporary cause of this or that, but Jesus and Babaji working together have planned the spiritual salvation of this age, and we have incarnated to help them. We, anybody who's listening to this, this is the real conflict. The what appears to be going on in the world is not the real conflict. It's Babaji and Jesus working together with all other spiritual nations and planets and stars who are all moving toward the light. It's light against shadow, and the forms really make very little difference. But within ourselves, we can tell the difference between light and shadow. And our one responsibility is to be in the light. God bless you, my friends.